who has since indicated that he is attending some high-level panel on water. That is a program that is taking place in Mauritius. Acting DG is the CFO, Mr. Sfiso Mkhize. There's a whole panel of a list of senior managers from the department, DDGs and chief directors, and it's all contained in this correspondence dated the 26th of June. As mentioned earlier on, we have two main items for the day, for today. One is a matter that relates to the fourth quarter review, which we are dealing with. The other one is a matter that deals with the Overberg. We shall come back to Overberg later. That is now after lunch, when we are done with the department with its fourth quarter review. That's in accordance with our program for the day. Okay, Minister, you are here with us with your team that you are leading. We did receive your submission. We shall, without waste of time, go straight to the issues, or rather to the submission that shall uncover all the issues expected from your team and yourselves. Without, as I said, waste of time, let's hand over to you, Minister. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. And you do have the apology. We have the department led by Sfiso Mkhize, the CFO of the department. We coming to present the fourth quarterly report. I also want to hasten share that in your correspondence, you have also indicated almost 23 additional items that have got nothing to do with the fourth quarterly report. But I want to remind honorable members that almost all those items are reflected in our APP when we came to report, as well as also items that are now a subject for auditing. The audit process is not yet conclusive. The audit process is done and guided by, led by the Office of the Auditor General. Our issues chair on Lesotho, on the water trading entity, and so on and so forth, those 23 items. Unless the committee itself explains exactly what they have to do with the quarterly report. But what we would subject ourselves to is what you have said, the fourth quarterly report. And then the other item, we will deal with it when we get to that, because I don't think it would also be an issue for discussion in this committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning,
Chair. Just a quick one, at NTG. The issues, I was just trying to go through a whole host of them. These are issues, members, if you recall, that have so much to do with outstanding matters, if you like, that we have been picking up, which I thought we should expect the department to bring to us. Based on all of that, we shall have to go ahead. You shall also remember, Minister, that members, they raise literally any issue as and when they want to raise. Whether I shall have mentioned to you those, but in one way or another, you should expect members to raise any issue. Of course, we've got to be relevant. but we operate in that environment. I take it that you have included those in this submission expected from the acting DG.
Yep. Can I respond, Chair?
Mm.
Yep. We are ready. We can respond on anything about the department, but we will not want to thumbsuck. I want to remind you, Chair, I assume that these meetings are recorded. A week ago, not even a week, last Thursday, the chairperson insisted that you want to be given reports at least 3 weeks before a committee meeting. And I actually said, it will be good that we have a program. And on the basis of that, I would really urge that in as much as members can raise anything and anything with us, those issues have to be processed. Yes, we can go point by point to dispose of those issues as we pick them up, but what I'm really appealing to you and honorable members is that you yourselves have said we should have that program, a quarterly program. Because what we can't also not register here, Chair, is that in the last 4 months, we have spent many days in the portfolio committee because one meeting generates another meeting. And I'm really pleading. I'm appealing that it's better when we have a program and then we can then have matters arising. We can then have, for this quarter, the things that we are dealing with, so that then we do not just every time have issues being raised, because they don't actually make us productive. And even the department, half of the colleagues who are here from the department have actually been focusing primarily on generating the reports. So I'm going back to what you said last week yourself, who said 3 weeks, but we got the notice.
I said 1 week.
Even a week, yes, you didn't give us a week even with this. So I'm pleading with you, give us a program for the quarter, give us the issue, and then the last thing, I will respond to those issues. Thank you.
With all respect, the Minister is not here to dictate to the Portfolio Committee. That's one. Secondly, if we ask questions and we ask them to report back the next week on a questionnaire, we expect them to do it. We can't think out questions a week beforehand and then send it to them. Issues arises on issues that's been given to us, or questions comes on issues and then we ask. Don't answer us now, come back and give us the answer. The Minister is not here to dictate.
No, we find, Mr. Basson, we have a meeting. We have a submission to be presented. On those bases, we shall have to go through and engage with the submission. That's what we need to do. The point is noted. Mr. Mkize?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Good morning. Our input this morning is on the fourth quarter report. We have covered the issues around compliance, and if you look at our content page, we are covering from part A up to part G. And I will be doing the presentation, except for part A, where my colleague on my left, Babala, will take us through the performance in terms of the non-financial performance, and I will deal with all other issues that follows. So she will take us through our strategic goals from 1 up to 5 and the analysis thereof. Then I will come in from part B up to the end, Chairperson. With your permission, I'll allow my colleagues to take us through part A, then I'll come and do the rest of the presentation.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you very much, Acting DG, Minister and MDM. I would request that honorable members, as I go through the analysis, we've provided a detailed report, an Excel spreadsheet in an A4 format that actually makes it easy for the analysis to be followed by the honorable members. So I will be talking through the presentations, but the detail of what I'll be saying will be provided in that detailed fourth quarter report. If you go to slide 5 in the presentation, in that slide, we have provided what we call a strategy map of the department. We show you the vision, the mission, the goals, and the objectives. Also, we've put our strategic objectives, and because of our analysis, we use the scorecard analysis, so the different colors in the presentation show the four perspectives that we focused on during the 16-17 financial year. And therefore, if you go to the slide number 6, it provides an extent to which our goals were achieved, the annual milestones for the goals were achieved during the 16-17 financial year. You will see that goal 1 and the description of goal 1 is clear in slide 5, and enhanced protected water as a value, as a resource across the value chain. You see that we achieved 60% of the milestone. For the second goal, relating to equitable access to reliable, sustainable, and acceptable water resources and sanitation services, we achieved 60%. For goal 3, relating to enhanced contribution, socioeconomic development, and transformation by the sector, we achieved 75%. Goal 4, we achieved 75%. And goal 5, we achieved 100%. This is just a high-level analysis of the milestones, and the details are in the report. If you look at the various strategic objectives per program, during the 16-17 financial year, the department had unique strategic objectives per program. So for the administration program, the unique strategic objectives and the milestones related, 75% of those strategic objectives were achieved. The second program, water planning and information management, 80% of their strategic objectives, milestones were achieved. The water infrastructure development, they achieved 67%. The water and sanitation services, they achieved 100%. And the water sector regulation achieved 40% of the strategic objectives. And the details are also in the report. If you go to slide 8, that indicates the traffic light system that we use to analyze our performance, and that relates to overall the performance, the cumulative performance of the department for all the performance indicators that we had during the year in question. You will see that we've separated them using the main account and the trading, water trading. You see that our achievement was 48%. It means we achieved 100% and above. A partial achievement of what was planned was 21%. It means that we range between 50 and 99%. And what was not achieved, which is below 50%, it is 31%. The water trading, on the other hand, achieved 75% of what was planned for the yield question and partially achieved 75%. 25%. If you go to slide 9, we have provided the detail per program to indicate where the achievements, the partial achievements, and the non-achievements reside per program. So you will see that under program 1, what was planned, it was 80% achieved. And then the second program, water planning and information, achieved 64%. The water infrastructure development achieved 33%. The water and sanitation program achieved 83%. And the water sector regulation achieved 26%. The subsequent slide also gives a detailed breakdown of what was happening in the water trading. We looked at the financial management unit and also what we call Porto Catchment Management Agencies, or Porto CMAs. So under financial management, it was 67% of their milestones, and under Porto CMAs, 100% of what was planned was achieved. If you then go to the subsequent slides from slide 12, we give you a detail per sub-program within the administration branch. There are four sub-programs that we focused on performance. You'll see that corporate services achieved 100% of what they had planned. Financial management achieved 67%. Departmental management did not achieve what was planned. It means they were below 50%. And then International Water Corporation achieved 100% of what was planned. And if you look at the detailed report, that goes from page 1 up until page the second page, the top of the second page. So the details of the indicators that relate to those sub-programs is clearly stipulated in that report. And then I need to go to the slide 30 relating to water planning and information management, which is a beginning of part of page 2 of the detailed report. The sub-programs there that we monitored is integrated planning, which achieved 67% of their milestones. Water ecosystems, they achieved 100% of their milestones. Water information management, 100% of their milestones. Water services and local water management, 60% of their milestones. And sanitation planning and management received below 50% and hence the negative 100% achievement. And there in the report, it goes from page 2 of the detailed report and it goes to page 6 of the report, the detailed report. If you go to slide 14, relating to water infrastructure management, there are three sub-programs there. And the water services infrastructure sub-program achieved 25% of their annual milestones. The infrastructure development and rehabilitation achieved 25%. The operations of water resources achieved 50% of their milestones. And the detailed information, this is the projects, the water services projects, the accelerated community infrastructure projects, and that from the report, it goes from page 6 of the detailed report, and it goes up to page 18 of the report, 6 to 18 of the detailed report. If you go to water and sanitation services, we have two sub-programs there for the question. The water sector support achieved 75% of what they had planned, and the national sanitation services achieved 100% of their annual milestones. And in the detailed report, it starts from page 18 and it goes up until page 20, of the report. The last program under the main account, water sector regulation. There are seven programs under that program. The economic and social regulation achieved below 50% of their milestones and hence the negative 100%. The compliance monitoring achieved 75% of what was planned. Enforcement achieved 100% of their annual milestones. The water services and sanitation regulation, 50%. Institutional oversight, 25%. Water use authorization achieved partially. It is between 50 and 99%, and hence the negative 100%. And then the water sector regulation management and support also achieved below 50%. 86% of their milestones fell there, and then 14% of their milestones fell within the partial achievement. And the detail in the report starts from page 20 up until page 28. And then the water trading entity sub-program, I had already mentioned that in the previous slide. The financial management achieved 67% in the sub-program, and the proto catchment management agencies achieved 100%. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Babalo. I'm going to take over from part B, where it's overview of main account financial performance. In the financial year 2017, the department was allocated 15.5 billion, and the actual expenditure at year end was 15.6 billion, and we overspent the budget by 110 million, which is 1% above the allocated budget. In terms of the allocation per the main program of the department, administration achieved 97%, water planning and information management 93%, water infrastructure development 100%, water and sanitation services 138%, and water sector regulation 88%, which makes up the total budget allocation of 15.5 and actual expenditure of 15.6 billion. Below is the economic classification breakdown. For compensation of employees, we spend 93%, goods and services 103%, interest on rent and land 99%, transfers and subsidies to municipalities and water boards 100%, payment of capital assets 104%. In terms of the notes, why there is under or over expenditure on slide 22, the underspending of 100.2 million is mainly due to the vacant posts across all five programs. Previously reported that the department is in the process of reviewing the organizational structure, which is a process that is unfolding. The COE budget is specifically and exclusively appropriated, and we are saying that Parliament's approval is required to utilize this budget for any other purpose. All the unspent funds on compensation of employees will therefore be surrendered to the National Treasury. Goods and services, the overspending, as you saw, is 103%, is expenditure incurred for the interventions that were done in municipalities where we provided water tankering, also in respect of operation and maintenance related interventions in various municipalities. Transfers, you notice that under transfers under WASIC, there's an amount of 14 million. That are allocated to Tarazimbi and could not be transferred due to the risk of misappropriation of funding and unconducive environment within which Tarazimbi finds itself, where they're facing legal issues and administration. Payment for capital assets, the overspending is due mainly to unfunded projects in the bucket eradication program, which were processed against the insufficient budget. During the year, we had to find money to pay for the bucket eradication since the budget was insufficient. The transfers, we have given the breakdown of the transfer that we did under year under review. For provinces and municipalities, it's 4.6 billion. Departmental agencies, 1.7 billion. Higher education institutions, 981 million, that's mainly to Stellenbosch and Western Cape universities. Foreign governments and international organizations, 188.7 million. Public corporations and private enterprises, 844.7 million. Non-profit institutions, 4 million. And households, 42.8 million. Total transfers is 7.5 billion and actual expenditure is 7.4 billion. Which is 100% transferred to these agencies, except with the exception of the Tarazimbi municipalities. Slide 26, conditional grants. The department received 4.6 billion for regional park infrastructure and water services infrastructure grants, of which 4.6 billion has been transferred to municipalities. Departmental agencies and accounts. A total amount of 1.7 billion was transferred out of the 1.7 billion allocated to various agencies. That includes Energy, Water Sector, Education and Training Authority, Public Sector Education and Training Authority, the Water Trading Augmentation, Water Research Commission, as well as South African National Space Agency. Higher education, an amount of 981 million was allocated but could not be transferred to universities, to the universities of Stellenbosch and Western Cape. Foreign government and international organizations, we have listed the organizations there where we transferred money to. An amount of 188.2 million was transferred out of the budget of 188.7 million allocated to African Minister Council on Water, which is AMCO, the COBWA, or the Komati River Basin Water Authority, the Limpopo Water Course Commission, the Orange Sengwe River Basin Commission, as well as the subscription to the African Union membership fees and AMCO Trust Fund. Public corporations that involve Amatola Water Board, the Makhalis, the Sedibeng, and Umgeni Water Board. Non-profit institutions, an amount of 3.3 million was transferred out of the budget of 4 million allocated to strategic water partnership, as well as donations and gifts and claims against the state. Slide 27 talks about operational expenditure per program. The operational expenditure is mainly made up of goods and services. The overspending in goods and services is mainly due to expenditure incurred for the drought interventions in various municipalities, as well as the operation and maintenance related interventions. In terms of the classification, most expenditure in goods and services was incurred. 21% of that was for contractors, 19% was for operating leases, 15% was for consultants, travel and subsistence was 12%, and infrastructure and planning services 7%. From slide 29 to those are detailed per each program. Like if you look at administration on slide 20, we have given the sub-programs in that program, the budget allocated and actual spending. If you look at the ministry, they spend 100% of their budget, departmental management 92%, internal audit 95%, corporate services 97%, financial management 97%, and leases for office accommodation also spend 100%. Total allocated for program one in administration is 1.5 billion, and the whole amount was utilized in the financial year. In terms of the notes or the reasons for the variances, reduced activities in items such as traveling, air transport, travel agency fees, and accommodation as part of cost containment were implemented by the department to save cost. Late finalization of contracts relating to the development of the national water and sanitation resources and services strategies. Payments relating to the wellness contracts, training interventions, as well as IT contracts where service level agreements were delayed, and activities relating to restructuring of the department. The transfers which could not be made to universities, that relates to the two universities. Slide 31, which is the second program, which is water planning and information management. The sub-programs within this program is water planning, information management and support. 100% of the budget was spent. Integrated planning, 81%. Water ecosystems, 100%. Water information management, 95%. Water services and local water management, 88%. Sanitation planning and management, 94%. So out of the budget of 749.6 million, 695.6 million was spent in this program. Some of the reasons for the underspending, the unfilled vacancies during the greater part of the financial year across the sub-programs, and the commitment of committing goods and services and related payments for capital assets. There were also delays in the implementation of the master plans projects for water services and local water management. Feasibility studies and reconciliation strategies projects relating to integrated planning could not commence due to unexpected delays in the procurement process. We also had to re-advertise a bid for water ecosystems where only one bidder turned up, and also it could not meet the specifications. program 3, which is water infrastructure development. It has three sub-programs, infrastructure development and rehabilitation. 100% of the funds were utilized. Operation of water resources, 100%. Water services infrastructure also spent the whole of the allocated budget. The unspent funds allocated to Tabazini Municipality in respect of water services infrastructure grant, which could not be transferred to risk of misappropriation of funding and the unconducive environment within which the municipality found itself. Although the program has underspent the budget, there was overspending in goods and services, mainly due to expenditure incurred for water tendering in respect of drought relief activities and operations on and maintenance-related interventions. Program 4, which is water and sanitation services, we have two sub-programs. Water sector support spent 93% of their budget, and national sanitation services spent 149% of their budget. Underspending is mainly for the unfilled vacant-funded positions and direct overheads and that are associated to the appointment of new officials. The overspending, the commitments for this program, specifically in sub-program National Sanitation Services, exceed the allocated budget as a result of bucket eradication program, which was paid over and above the budget that was allocated at the beginning of the year. Program 4 overspending has led to unauthorized expenditure of overspending of the main division of the main division by 292.2 million. Program 4, which is water sector regulation, they spend 88% of their budget. The reason for the underspending, the unfilled vacancies during the greater part of the financial year across the sub-programs of this program, as well as the terms of reference for planned projects in institutional oversight which relate to the regrading of the water entities, water board, boundary study, and appointment of professional staff to provide strategic advice and support were also delayed. The planned project and sub-program economic and social regulation, such as consumer survey on raw water pricing, a regulatory model for the review of all tariffs and policies which were deferred to the 2017-18 financial year. The next slide talks about the budget for the grant, infrastructure programs, grant allocations. The first one being the RBIC or the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, which had a total budget of 1.8 billion. In slide 41, it's a breakdown per province of that 1.8 billion. And of that, the whole budget was spent. Was transferred. Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, which is a direct grant, had a budget of 3.4 billion, and the whole amount was transferred. Indirect grant for RBIC, 844.7 million, and the whole amount was transferred. Grant for water boards, desalination plant, 301 million, and the whole amount was spent. Water Services Infrastructure Grant at a budget of 2.8 billion, with the exception of the Tabazini Municipality, the whole money was transferred. Direct Grant, Water Services Infrastructure Grant, WASIC, the budget of 362.1 million, and we spent 413.2 million. Indirect Grant, which is ACIP, had an allocated budget of 206.8 million, the whole budget was utilized or transferred. The BEP program of bucket verification had a budget of 512.7 million. At the end of the financial year, we spent 831.3 million. And direct grant WTA capital project, the budget of 1.5, and the whole money was transferred. In the following slides, it's a breakdown per province of the indirect grants, as well as slide 43. Is the different water boards where the department transfers money to. That includes the Makhalis, the Sedibeng Water, as well as Umgeni Water. Slide 44 is the desalination plan. The money that was allocated in head office, and the whole of the 301 million was spent. Slide 45 is a breakdown of the water services infrastructure grant. As in the previous slide, I mentioned there's 2.8 billion, and this is a breakdown per each province, how much was allocated and how much was transferred. As you could see, in all the provinces, the money was transferred to them, except the one for Limpopo, the one that I mentioned for Thabazimbi. The indirect grants, we overspent on that one by 51.1 million. That's around the sanitation services or the BEP program. And these are the various provinces where we had the BEP program and the actual amount that were allocated and spent per each program. Same with slide 47. This is ACIP, the breakdown of the ACIP per each province, and all of this money was spent. Slide 48, talk about bucket eradication program, the indirect transfers, the total budget of 512.7 million, and we spend 831.3 million. And those are the provinces where we had a budget and extra expenditure taking place. Slide C talks about overview of water trading financial performance. And my colleague there, Paul, is ready to do that presentation, and I'll take over after he's finished.
Thank you, DG. If we can just go to slide 50, we've got a detailed split there of what's happened over the year. So if we look at our sale of water, we're actually 6% up on the budget. If we look at construction revenue, we're 84% up on the original budget, but we didn't quite make the revised budget. The construction doesn't affect our bottom line because they break even. So whatever work they do, we capitalize to projects, or they do it to external people where we get the money. So the revenue will always equal the expenditure, so that doesn't affect the bottom line. We've also started charging interest, a lot more interest to our standing debtors, which wasn't there before, so that's increased substantially the interest charged. Unfortunately, we haven't received that money yet, but we hope to. When we look at our expenditure, the employee costs are about 2% over budget. This is because I said there is the construction always break even. In this case, we used them to do some maintenance for us. So there's a small charge there that we didn't recover. That's why it's gone over there. Then when we look at the other expenditure, most of it's down to TCTA. We pay 46% of our revenue, we pay across to TCTA. They then give us a breakdown of how they spent that money. They'll say so much is admin fee, so much is interest, so much is on the projects. So they give us that split. These figures haven't been finalized yet. Included, yeah, is the management fee, which they initially said was 1.4 billion, which is up quite substantially over last year. But the auditors let us know yesterday that they've corrected that. It's in fact come down from last year. There's no increase in last year. The next one is also the impairments of financial assets and financial costs. The way that they do it, they have an AGS adjustment. This is the way that we do the accounting practice. When they do their financial models, they calculate how much interest we're going to pay over the period of the loan. So if it's a 20-year loan, they go and work out what interest they'll pay. Their estimates change year on year. Their estimates change as they see how much interest they'll be paying over this period. And then we've got to make an adjustment. It's a non-cash item. But we've got to indicate what the net present value of the future interest rates will be. Depreciation is also down on what we budgeted for. What we do annually is we work out what the useful life is of an asset. So if you take a computer and say you're going to write that off over 4 years, that's 25% a year you write off. Then we go and look at it at the end of each year. We say this computer is going to last 5 years, not 4 years. In other words, we only should write off 20% a year, not 25%, so depreciation is less than anticipated because of the useful life. We're saying our assets are going to last longer than anticipated. If we look at our projects, our capital projects, these are paid from augmentation. We spend 78% of the money budgeted. On the rehabilitation refurbishment, we spend 86% of the budgeted figure. rehabilitation of conveyance systems, 90%, and water metering projects, we spent 67%. The 67% was due to the fact that there was no successful bidder during the evaluation process. Thank you, DG.
Sorry. Thank you, Paul. Now I'm on part D, or which is slide 58 on the supply chain management matters. Some of the issues that were raised in the letter that we received. In terms of the achievements around procurement issues, new supply chain management committees as well as ICT committee have been appointed and are fully functional. SCM delegations and procedure manuals were reviewed and approved and are fully implemented. Some of the challenges that we have around procurement is non-compliance with supply chain management processes by our implementing agents, which results in irregular expenditure in the department, since the money is accounted for in the department. Poor record keeping of project information by the implementing agents and lack of cooperation when required to provide information with some of the implementing agents. The MOUs between the department and implementing agents do not have specific project durations. Projects run for longer periods. Some of the projects they run for longer periods. And in the year under review, these are some of the remedies that we have put in place. We have formalized and streamlined principal agent relationships through the standard MOUs. We have issued a circular to IAs or implementing agents providing instructions and guidance on the procurement processes that must be followed when implementing the department's projects. We have centralized approval of tenders and variations on projects implemented by implementing agents and the department. The final authority to approve must be done by the department, which rests with the accounting officer. The department will participate in bid evaluation committee meetings of high-value tenders or with the demanded threshold facilitated by our implementing agents to provide the advisory support. So we are deploying supply chain officials to sit in those committees just to make sure that all supply chain processes are being followed. All memorandum of understanding between department and our implementing agents will be reviewed and standardized to allow the department to exercise oversight role on all its projects. Also review SCM capacity of all implementing agents to exclude IAs with less capacity from the list of approved IAs. And we have picked up the issue of capacity in most of the municipalities where the department transferred money to, and unfortunately, we don't provide that capacity support to municipalities. That's the function of COCTA, but we sort of take them along in terms of how they should exercise supply chain processes when implementing our projects. And the next one is part E, which talks about the progress on the 2015-16 audit outcomes. If you recall, in the previous financial year, we had the unqualified audit opinion, and these were the we had 18 findings that were impacting on the audit report relating to the commitments and on infrastructure projects implemented by the implementing agents on behalf of the department. The root causes for all these findings is similar and relates to the following: lack of monthly reporting on accruals and commitments on infrastructure projects implemented by our implementing agents, being the water boards or the municipalities. Documents for projects implemented by our implementing agents not available at the department. Lack of reconciliation of invoices sent by our implementing agents. And the actions that we have taken as a department to address the root causes of these findings, we issued a circular 7 of 2016, which was rolled out which outlines the supporting documents that must be submitted by our implementing agents prior to payment being made or funds being transferred to the implementing agents. We also issued a final circular 8 of 2016, which requires reconciliation of all implementing agents' invoices before payment is made by the department. A payment reconciliation template was also developed and is being used by all regional offices before they can recommend for payment in her office. There was also Final Circular 6 of 2016 was issued, which prohibits the payment of retention fees until the defect's liability period has passed and supporting documents have been provided to prevent duplicate payments of retention fees. Fourthly, a reporting template for commitments on all infrastructure projects was developed and is being used by all our regional offices. This template is updated on a monthly basis by regions and as and when payments are being made and when new contracts and violation orders are being entered into. The templates are reported to head office on a monthly basis for consolidation and review purposes. Finance operating procedure manuals were signed off by the accounting officer, which stipulates the monthly reports that are submitted on a monthly basis by all regional offices. The standard operating procedure also includes consequence management in instances for non-submission and submissions of poor quality. Roadshows were also held with all regional offices to conduct substantive training on all the new policies which have been issued and the new reporting templates. And audit files are being kept by all regions for all projects implemented by implementing agents on behalf of the department, and these files are inspected through surprise visits by head office officials. And progress on the supply chain management issues or actions arising from the 2015-16 audit outcome. All the actions which were in action plan has been achieved. This means that the recommendations by internal audit and auditor general have been implemented. As a result, there were no qualification lines regarding SCM. Supply chain will, on ongoing basis, continue to improve on-job training of staff at head office as well as at regional level. SCM standard operating procedure have been approved to provide guidance on implementation of policies. Supply chain will also continue to improve quality checking at head office as well as regional level. The department has implemented the National Treasury Centralized Database, CSD, which has assisted in reducing the request process with one or two quotations. Now the department is sourcing more than five and the database has thousands of suppliers. Monthly reconciliations are conducted on infrastructure projects prior to payments being processed. Investigations on cases of irregular expenditure are underway. Appropriate steps, including disciplinary actions, are taken per case as and when investigations are finalized. Part F talks to the risk management issues. As a department, we conducted an enterprise-wide risk assessment and we have identified the risk. In total, there are 27 strategic risks. Six risk, the risk rating has been reduced. And from slide 68 up to slide, those are the detailed risk. Up to 73, those are the detailed risk that we came up with. Poor revenue, like among others, is poor revenue collection by municipalities or water boards that are not paying for the water services that we provide. Possible qualified audit opinion due to the non-implementation of some of the internal controls that we have put in place. Invoices that are not being paid within 30 days that we have put as a risk, and we have also put the mitigation. And as it stands, all our service providers, we pay our service providers more than, on average, more than 95% throughout the year. Project not completed on time, within the budget, unplanned project, that goes up to slide 73. Those are all the risks that we identified. And the challenges, as previously mentioned, poor revenue collection despite the efforts to recover the outstanding debts. The non-payment by water boards and municipalities remains a constant a constraint to the organization, and that mainly affects the water trading entity. Accruals and commitments and irregular and unauthorized expenditure remains a challenge to the organization. I must make mention that most of these expenditures are incurred outside the department by our implementing agents. Unfortunately, if any transgression on the implementing agents, it comes back to the department. Invoices not paid within 30 days, despite the efforts, not invoices are paid within 30 days. Project management is still a challenge that needs to be addressed in the year under review. Unplanned projects had a negative impact on the performance of the organization, as they were not originally budgeted for. However, going forward, the organization is in the process of developing a process to manage unplanned projects or urgent or emergency interventions. And lastly, implementing agents cited for non-adherence to supply chain management processes, while the department was cited for irregular expenditure. Part G, those are internal audit matters. As part of improving our internal control environment, we appointed a new audit committee. The audit committee was functional throughout the year. A quality assessment of the members and the chairperson of the audit committee was also performed, which confirmed the satisfaction of the management with the quality of the work that the committee members rendered to the department. With the assessment of the audit committee, the work of the internal audit was also assessed, which also reflected satisfaction of the management with the quality of the service that is rendered by the internal audit function. Some of the achievements: effective audit committee that meets on a regular basis for the financial year 16-17, assisted the entity on the qualification issues for the 2015-16 financial year, executive summary to the minister on a quarterly basis where all challenges are raised by the committee. Completeness of irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure not complete. Investigation irregular expenditure are not done as it is discovered. That, as I previously mentioned, that most of these irregular expenditure are incurred at our implementing agents. Then there's a need to do a thorough investigation by the department in these implementing agents. Completeness of commitments. Issuing of water licenses take longer. Capture of water licenses on WOMS and BEP report is still outstanding. BCP, which is Business Continuity Plan and Disaster Recovery Plan, not approved and implemented. Budget for long-standing debts of 1.3 at WTE. History showed it will not recover these debtors. This is a debt that's the money owed to WTE by the municipalities. Outstanding internal audit findings, poor implementation of the internal audit recommendations, and we have since escalated this to the program manager level as part of these performance indicator. Appointment of external risk committee chairperson and meeting with the minister to discuss quarterly reports. Lastly, the position of the chief audit executive has been vacant for a period of a year, and it will be filled in this year. There's insufficient resources and, in some instances, lack of skills within the internal audit to service both the entity as well as the main account. Part of the resolutions, the audit committee regularly follows up on these issues that are being raised. Thank you very much, Minister and Chairperson. Also, at the end, these are the abbreviations for all the things, abbreviation that we use in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Minister, you want to add any comments?
No, that's fine.
Okay, that should be it, members. We have the submission by the acting DG, who equally happens to be the CFO of the department, that assists us in getting that comprehensive, with an experience having been an acting DG himself in his own right. Okay, Mr. Maybe just one clarity. This being a fourth quarterly report,
it obviously gave us annual figures. But of course, also one other issue that you might wish to consistent with is in your charts with, you know, the numbers. In some instances, you do have the 000s, which gives you a clear indication that here you're dealing with billions. But in some instances, those 00s are not there. So that it gets to be consistent. It also gives others, anybody who reads this can easily be thinking you're talking about hundreds of millions or thousands of rands, as it were. So it's just a simple issue that requires a thoroughgoing write-up on your side as you prepare your submission, so that it doesn't get here. Once it is here, it is public. That's the challenge you have, or you may have. I saw your hand, Mr. Mguni, Mr. Basson, Mrs. Baker. For now, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the other officials I did not meet earlier this morning. Chairperson, I would love to welcome the presentation. You see, it was very clear and audible. But there are some few questions that I think I must get clarity. The first one is just on the spot that you have just said now, whether do we have a thorough check on these documents when they come in here? Because, you know, sometimes when you speak about percentage, you know, if it's 1/1, it's 100%. You see, so when you look on page 33, you can see that. Let me make an example. Put example on page 33. And there are so many pages there, and also page 40. You will see that on water services infrastructure, the actual expenditure is 10 what? Because I can't call those millions. And then the available budget is 47 million. But you will then say it's 100%. On page 33, you see 100%. Then even on page 40, the same thing was done. Let me check so that I can make a very... Page 40. Yeah. You could see that on the RBIC, the actual expenditure was those figures that are appearing there, but there's still amounts that is available, but the spend is 100%. You will see when it goes out, to me it has got a bit of a challenge if those figures have got a problem. Also on program 2, which page, I think it was page 20, it's page 31. On the interest, I think it's under economic classification. Interest on rent and land. You say the actual expenditure is 6 million. I think it should be something like that. And then there's no available budget. Spent, but it's zero. You understand? And then it becomes something. I don't know whether it's an oversight or... Excuse me. 31 on the interest, and there are so many pages that I don't want to you see. Also on the water ecosystem, there are so many. When I was reading it through last week, I could see those figures in a page. On the water ecosystem, the same page, I think it says actual expenditure is 53 million, if I'm calling the right, you know, billion, I don't know which one comes first. And then, but then the available budget is 33 million. Then actual spend is 100. So if when you come here, you must. I will request that you make proper check of the document so that we know exactly what you are talking about. Yeah, on the issue of the post, you said you have underspent on, I think it's program one, where you said I have underspent because there are these vacant posts. I think there are plus minus 900 vacant posts that are there in accordance to the treasury's report. I think there were more than 900 posts. Do you have any plan which might be radical? You know, that's where people need jobs. People's ministers, they need jobs. You see, if there are no jobs, well, you see, I have seen that now that we have shared a lot of, I don't know, I've seen that through the news. We have shared more jobs here. But people still need jobs. We have got vacant opportunities here. Do you have any radical plan which can assist that people get jobs through these vacant posts that are in the department? Kukhona into engihlekisayo minister, yangihlekakancane la. Uyabona kule into lesifuna labantu lama program where they need people to get their services jobs. We understand. Well, kufuna kunama infrastructure, the issue of water tankering, we overspend. La kuphuma khona imali yangaphandle. Kukuthi no ngathi akubalansi kahle, ngathi akunabalansi kahle. Is there any way we can balance this to where people need services? Hi, abantu abawatholi lama services. You see, when the money ngathi yaphuma nje, ngathi si spend kakhulu anyana, man, we must have a way of dealing with that those issues. Kunale higher education institution, we say we have underspent because we did not make money available to these universities like Stellenbosch and Western Cape. Because we had already allocated, we had already budgeted, what might have been the problem of not giving that money due to, because I did not get any answer, why did you failed to do those. Then on the issue of, I found to have a problem on the issue of underspending, and then one comes to me as personally and say, I underspend because I failed to install something. I had a challenge of installing maybe an operational anchor. I think that's what you're saying on page 53. Then if you are doing your planning, how do you do it? I remember in my previous life, I did what we call project management. Project management. When you do planning, thorough planning, Chairperson. When you do thorough planning, you know you have to get some anchors or mables from overseas. That's your planning, you understand? When you start now to go on the operation, you've already applied or what's called both those things. But when the time comes in here for me to put those labels, they are already here. You don't delay. You don't delay because the process, the moment you delay, the cost, they increase. And how do we do our planning in our project? And then there's this other reason for the overspending. On page 51 again, you say the reason for overspending is because of the increase on goods and employees. It boils back to planning and budgeting. How do we plan? How do we budget? From 2014, when we came in here, you always been telling us, there's an increase on this item that I've been saying. Pella, you are not new in the department, most of you here. You are not new in the department. You know that some of the costs do increase. I don't ever hear you saying, hey, we understand because I know we have put value for money. When we went to buy some goods, we got them cheaper. That is why we underspend. We underspend. Always you will say you overspent because there were increase in goods. What is your, how is your planning? Don't you know about these goods when because you are dealing with those things every time, the daily bread and yearly thing. You, on the procurement issues, the supply chain, you are indicating here that I'm happy that you have now appointed the supply chain management and committees and also on the ICT committees. I'm happy for that because that has been a challenge ever since. And we are saying they are functional. Apart from being functional, because these are two equal things, two different things, Minister. They can be functional, moving around like headless chicken. I want to find out, are they equal to the task? Are they capacitated to cap what you previously been saying is your challenge? Do you have any radical procedure, to deal with the transgressors within the same committee? Because there are people, they will get the complaints, they will see the problems. Do they have any radical procedure to make sure that once we detect this thing, we are going to deal with those people with those people who have committed the crime? The last one is on the audit car.
That shall be your 11th one.
Yes, you see how big this thing manual is.
What we shall do going forward, we shall have to restrict ourselves to 3 questions and all comments.
Okay.
Then we do the other round.
Thank you very much. The chairperson has just said that this will be the last one. Thank you very much, chairperson. Yeah. The audit outcome indicates on page 62 that there are challenges with the department have, and all these challenges are because of the IAs, the implementing agents. Do you have a plan to radically deal with this IA, these implementing agents, including the monitoring and the support? And do you have any measures to take any actions when they don't follow the procedure? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chair. I'll stick with 3 questions with sub-questions. Chairperson, question one is, previously we were informed that the budget would be overspent by 18 million, which is 100.2 million. Can I get an explanation on that? Chairperson, then I can go to all the slides. I'm going to use one slide as an example. Slide 14. You indicate if we look at infrastructure development and rehabilitation, you achieved 25% and partially achieved 25%. But if you go to page 33, you've spent 100% of your money. So either you have paid double for the work, or you are not disclosing the balance of where that money went to. It's the same with the water service infrastructure, same with water resources. Chairperson, and I can go to all the slides. The slides that gives you achievement does not relate to the money. Second question, Chairperson, it's in slide 50. Chair, there's something that is very, very fishy for me, and I need the explanation on this. We know the department is using people to collect money by the water trading entity. Actually, I don't see where they've paid commission. So what I suspect is being done here, the sales of water services, the income, the commission, the money is being paid into this company, and please, if I'm wrong, please stop me immediately. Your collection company collects the money, and the money is paid into their account. Is that correct? Paid in your account. Okay, Chair, then it makes it much easier. It's paid into the department's account. But I don't see here, and if you can just tell me where would I get the commission you've paid? Where did you budget for it, one, and where, what is the amount, and where is it shown that you've paid the commission? Then the second one on that is, the Reserve Bank, on the 31st of, or on the 1st of April 2016, you owed the Reserve Bank $454 million, and at the 31st of March this year, $2.6 billion. So in this financial year, 16-17, you used 2.221 billion rand. Where does that reflect in your statement? And the other problem that I have is the interest revenue. You've just mentioned you have up now the interest rate you're charging, this 697 million. My question is, you said that you haven't received this. So I understand this is a mechanism, this is a financial mechanism. But if you haven't received that, you are spending money that you don't have. That's most probably why you owe the Reserve Bank $2.2 billion. The others, and then the finance cost, please explain that finance cost again to me, please, and then we can look at follow-up questions, Chairperson.
Mrs. Baker?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for the delay. Chair, I'm battling to reconcile what I'm seeing on the spreadsheet and what's on the, for example, Program 4, sanitation, on page 7 on the presentation, says that you have achieved 100% of the objectives. I'm then looking at page 21, which is Program 4, and on page 7 on the presentation, it says, not achieved, no milestones, it says zero. But if I look at page 21 on the spreadsheet, it tells me something else. So I'm not reconciling those two. And that's just one of them. There's actually quite a few others. But one of my main concerns is pay is Program 2. If I look at the projects that are affected, it's a lot of big projects. And although it's showing only, if you look at the sub-programs, it's in the sub-programs where there's a problem. Because if I look at your non-achievement of 20%, that looks fine here, but if you go into the sub-programs and you look at the actual projects, that becomes problematic. And if you look at the core mandate of the department of providing bulk infrastructure, I think that we know we have a problem. But please, and the sanitation. If I'm cross-referencing sub-programs within programs, I don't see how in some cases we are indicating 100% achievement, especially when we're looking at the bucket eradication program. There's obviously a huge problem with the bucket eradication program. But, Chair, yeah, okay, enough said for now.
Okay, we're done for now. Which we shall then have to come back. If I were just very briefly, when we were talking with the National Treasury, the Deputy Minister was walking in, and the issue that was at hand here was on water, on war on leaks. Where do we find it in this? And what budgetary going forward line area would we find war on leaks? One of the issues that we're raising with the National Treasury relates to the fact that this here you are dealing with is municipal infrastructure.
you are looking at improving that revenue collection for municipalities on one hand. On the other hand, you're looking at saving of water. On the other hand, you're looking at service delivery. Given the fact that water being so scarce in Cape Town or Western Cape, we are dealing with a crisis, as it were. It's a good program, there's no question. But how do we allocate for it, and how do we account for it? You're dealing here with hundreds of millions of rands. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'm going to suggest that Babalwa explains the spreadsheet and the figures, including the definition of headings that Member Mguni had raised on whether it's millions or billions, but also the comparisons on the basis of the milestones against the money spent. And how then do they come to the total round figure. I'm then going to also invite the acting DG to then deal with issues that have to do with the main account, followed by Paul, who will then deal with some of the issues that are related to debt collection, as well as the money owed to the Reserve Bank. But I'm sure also the CFO can be in a position to assist. Just to remind you, Chair, and and honourable members, which I think Spiso can elaborate on, when we came to present the budget, one of the things that we said, Chair, was that worm leaks will be one of those projects that we will be implementing using the water trading entity's revenue collection, so that then it does not necessarily become an item in our own main account. So that's why you will not find it as an item in your water, what is it, water resource infrastructure. And you'll recall, even when we were presenting the budget, we also indicated those items that were on the side, and that we have also raised that they are going to be implemented in partnership with COCTA, MISA, and DBSA, particularly on bucket eradication, where we are now at an advanced stage where we're working together with those sister departments then to deal with them, as you correctly indicate that some of them have to do in earnest with service delivery and the functioning of local government. So it is on those bases that you do not find them at that level. But the program will continue. The programs are continuing even as we speak. I would invite Sfiso then, Babalwa first, and then we then have Sfiso clarifying, followed by Paul.
Thank you, Minister. Let me start with Honourable Baker's question, explaining that if you look at the spreadsheet, the annual target for the sanitation, the third column on the left reflects 4,135. That was the annual target. And during the reporting period, you'll see that the report actually tabulates I would call, for lack of a better word, backlogs arising from the previous financial year. So the projects that were initiated during the 15-16 financial year that could not be reported were finalized during the 16-17 financial year, therefore increasing that annual achievement to beyond the targeted annual 4,135. So that is why it reflects as really no milestone, because it was not part of the plan, because the plan was just to complete what was targeted for the year in question. But then the previous backlogs came into the fold and therefore increased the achievement. So it is written, if you see in the report, it's detailed as backlog from 2014 backlog from 2015-16, and that's how we've actually analyzed it. But as I say, overall, because we have to account for the financials, we had to factor those numbers in, and therefore the overachievement. I hope that explains it. The second one,
the partially achieved on that same page?
The partial achieved relates to the rural household infrastructure, which is not bucket eradication.
The program for sanitation shows 100% on the presentation.
Yes, the partial achievement, ma'am, if you look also at the numbers, if you look at the annual target, it's actually 9,000 on the side. And if you look at the quarterly milestones that they targeted to do 5,700, and during the quarter in question, if you look at the actual achievement, they achieved 3,388. However, if you put the numbers together cumulatively from the first quarter to the last quarter, that number of 9,000 is exceeded.
I did raise this issue earlier on about the fourth quarter versus the annual, which literally becomes a cumulative experience. If you can also assist us so that we are very clear whether we're talking here about the annual figure, I'm quite conscious of the fact that we are certainly going to be tempted to be dealing with annual figures. In some instances here, there is an interchangeable experience where you are either dealing with the fourth quarter or the annual figure. So by and large, we seemingly are more on the annual figure. So when we respond, I think it will assist all of us if we were to be able to say, here, the quarter in question, the quarter review in question, has this achievement versus what typically would have been an annual expectation or target for that matter. And I think it shall assist us if we were to be able to really articulate in such a manner that we are all in the same path. I guess that's the experience or rather the challenge that you are finding yourselves, Mrs. Baker. Maybe starting from Mrs. Manyaganyaga, if you can assist us in that regard, coming to any of you who are still to submit responses to the questions. Okay, you can go ahead.
All right. I don't know if I need to explain this one, the rural household infrastructure, as I said. Okay. The report tries to provide what I would call a mix of the year in question and also the quarter in question. So if you look at the analysis there on the far right, it only relates to what was meant to be achieved during the quarter in question. So our quarterly target for the fourth quarter, we should have had 5,700. However, what we achieved during the quarter in question was 3,388, and hence the partial achievement. But the analysis that you have in front of you consolidates from first quarter to the fourth quarter, which is cumulatively exceeding the target of 9,456. And hence the achievement of 100% in the sanitation. So if you look, for example, in the reasons for deviation, we do explain that some, what we call recoveries from the previous quarter, and the recoveries from the previous quarter, even though for the quarterly milestone, for the, when you do the analysis for the quarter, it only reflects that it is partially achieved. But if you look at it totally, that's the thing. I don't know.
You are on the same issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairperson, I think we're not on the same page. It says here cumulative fourth quarter. If you look at the reports, they say total financial statements at the end of the financial year. So I expect that all these documents are cumulative, the fourth quarter to the end of the financial year, because this is what the document stipulates.
Same issue, Mr. Speaker?
Exactly, Chair, because then we're not comparing apples with apples. Because we can't be saying this is 100% because it's cumulative, and yet here it's showing partially achieved, and then it's partial of the quarter. Is it an annual report, or is it a fourth quarterly report?
This we're dealing with here is a fourth quarter report. However, as I said earlier on, you are undoubtedly going to be running into a serious temptation. Hence the title as well talks about the cumulative, which I would imagine it takes into account, you know, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. But as we respond, I think what becomes important is an explanation that must be able to say, here, on a quarter at hand or in question that we're dealing with, there has been this target and there has been this achievement. And then cumulatively, this is what was to be expected in terms of your annual target. I think it shall assist us once again so that we don't really go and come at the same time. Does it make sense?
Yes. Can I make it? I think that's what Baba Lua is at pains trying to explain. So what I would suggest is, rather than her giving just a statement, let her take us through the table of content and then go also to the presentation that talks about the milestones, so that then you bring the two together and explain both. Because I think that's if we are able to do that, then maybe moving forward, that's what should be. You must have a spreadsheet that talks of the milestones, what we have done, and quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and then on the other end be able to project what cumulatively you have been able to do. So I want to propose that she does that. Yes,
thanks, Minister. Okay. I suppose we lost each other in the presentation. The presentation is a cumulative performance over the four quarters, which was, as the Minister rightly puts it. But what we've actually done in the spreadsheet that you have is only make reference to the analysis for the fourth quarter milestone and hence the partial achievement. But in the analysis, maybe it will be easier if I were to give you the details, because annually, if you consolidate from quarter one to quarter two to quarter three to quarter four, the rural household infrastructure achieved over 12,000. And I can provide that information in a detail, the spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet, for example, for this particular indicator in question, the third column relates to the target for the annual year. 9456 was the annual target. The second number, 5700, is the target for only quarter four. Then what we have done is to indicate the preliminary number that we had of 3424. But when we look at the portfolio of evidence that we had at our disposal, we could only find 8.88. Which means that if we calculate and we do an analysis for the quarter in question, there was an underperformance of 2312. And that analysis, the partial achievement, relates to the quarter. But in the presentation, what we have done, we have added from quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, which is what is not really reflected in the presentation, in the spreadsheet. And hence, the analysis is giving you a snippet of what you will see overall annually. And hence, the analysis seems to be at a disjuncture, because the request was for the fourth quarter, but at the same time, we needed to look at an overall annual, the extent to which our annual performance is achieved. But nevertheless, as the minister had indicated, we are currently being audited. We could have provided the annual performance report. It is available, but our dilemma is that the auditing process is still underway, and we might adjust our figures based on the outcome of the audit.
Yeah, that's exactly what the National Treasury also had mentioned, if you remember. However, the point again still remains. As we do our submissions, this clarity is very important. Here, the quarter at hand, its review was expected to be this, achieving this March target, as opposed or versus the annual target, so that we are clear, all of us, going forward. Okay, let's keep our notes and then we shall come back. Okay, you can go ahead with the rest of the questions and comments.
The alignment of the performance and the budget. The current situation that we're having with the performance and the budget is that the rules we actually apply for the performance is that if there is no supporting documentation, we don't recognize it as a performance. That actually satisfies our monitoring and evaluation criteria. So in some instances, you would find that there is evidence that was provided, a report, and finance uses that for payment, and the funds are spent. But if our monitoring and evaluation criteria is really not satisfied, and therefore we don't necessarily recognize it as an achievement. It is very prevalent within the infrastructure program that Honorable Basson raised. We've got, we want reports, we want completion certificates, we want all these other things, and also they do what they call a ground truthing exercise. So we have to check all the other areas and make sure that our paper trail is actually satisfied. If one of those documents are not provided, we actually don't recognize it as an achievement. And that, for lack of a better word, sets finance against our performance, because our rules are much, much, much more stringent than them. So within the infrastructure, that is a very common occurrence. If members would recall, we had also indicated the criteria that we actually use for the sanitation. We want an asset register, we want happy letters, we want all these other documents. And if one of those are not provided, that is not recognized as an achievement. It doesn't necessarily mean that the work wasn't done. We just want the paper trail to be correct. So it is a high-level response to try and explain the discrepancies between the 100% and the 25% achievement. I don't know if...
If you may start with the issues raised by Honorable Member Mguni.
Yes.
On the figures and the value of the figures.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minister. The point raised by Honorable Mnguni, I think the point is taken in terms of about the checking of the document, but if you look on slide 31, the one that she made example of, that's how all the slides should be. At the top, we should show that all the figures are to the nearest 1,000. And if you look at the example that he quoted, water ecosystem, the budget there is 52,372,000. And what was spent is 52,339,000. So the underspending is 33,000. So when it gets to a calculator or a computer, to the nearest is 100%. Unless we put more decimals after that, then it will show the difference. But the figures are correct. It's just that the difference becomes immaterial or negligible, then it takes 100%. But the figures are correct. The next one, the issue on the vacant post, what plans do we have in place? The exercise that we started last year of reviewing our structure is nearing completion. At the time, we could not fill positions while we were busy. The consultant was still busy with the process of reviewing the structure. Now that process is nearing an end, and all the positions in the department will be filled in the year 17-18. The slide 33, delays in implementing NCAS, that was around Hazelmere. We had a bit of a challenge there in terms of the experts who were going to do this NCAS. I think there were even the sales provider told us they had to import the experts from UK to come and do this. Also, we had to apply for a variation order from National Treasury. That took some time. So, indeed, there were delays in implementing this NCAS. The issue of procurements, I think from slide 59 to 60, we are trying to show the radical procedure that we are doing around procurement issues. We have reviewed the delegations, we have reviewed the committees, we issued circulars to our implementing agents, we're deploying our own officials as a department to sit in those procurement processes, to observe and advise where processes are not going according to procedure. But it is an ongoing process in terms of making sure that our internal control is sound when it comes to procurement. So it is worth what we've done so far, but we continuously try to improve the internal control environment around the supply chain issues. The issue of the figures, that previously it was a lesser figure, now is a higher figure. I think at the time we did indicate that those were preliminary figures. Even now, they are still preliminary figures. Up until our financial statements are fully audited, then those will be final figures, because there's still a lot of general entries taking place to and in and out of our books. So these figures, when I talk about figures for 16-17, they're still preliminary until we receive an audited financial statements, because there are a lot of adjustments that are happening as we speak. I think Paul will talk about the other issues, and I'll add on that if need be. But DDG for corporate, I think we will talk about the transfers to higher education institutions.
Thank you.
Can I just quickly just clarify something on the figures quickly? If you look at page 25, the amount, is that 4.6 million or should there be three notes so it's 4.3 billion? So then the notes are not in there. That's what my colleague was talking about. And then when you go to page 40 and 41, it would be the same.
I thought I was trying to explain that everything should be the S per slide 31. We should have the three zeros at the top.
All right.
All figures are to the nearest 1,000.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Masson?
The payment to the universities is in relation to some work that they do for international relations. We will provide the answer to the committee as soon as we get the answer from international relations. But there are some functions that they do for us in international relations. So we'll provide the answer in a written answer once we have it from international relations.
Thank you, Chair. If we can just go to page 50, this is where a lot of the questions came from. The first question was, where does the debt collection, the fees of the debt collection, where do we see that on this page? If we look at the very last item, it says other projects. These are other projects that we fund from our revenue, from the sale of water that we fund from there. So that would be included there. There's other things also like in the our call centers there, verification and validation of the user accounts, the licenses, there are lots of other projects. But that's included in that last figure there, of the 2.4. It's in there. The next question was, the interest that we're charging, does that affect the overdraft? That interest we're charging is really a book entry. We're showing the clients, we're showing the customers, we're charging you, we're penalizing you for not paying us, so we're charging you interest on your account. But it's a book entry. The one side would be we generate revenue, we show revenue and then we increase the debtors on the other side. But it doesn't affect our cash at all. The overdraft that you're talking about, we spoke about it previously. When Treasury cut us in 2016-17, they cut the budget by 2.7 billion. And they said, they didn't say stop projects. The wording is WT can use its accumulated surpluses to fund its capital needs. So they wanted us to use our accumulated surpluses to fund the capital projects, not stop them or cut down on them. And in doing that, we had to use old debt. The accumulated reserves were tied up in old debt. At that stage, 2016, the debt was 7.5 billion. Included in our budget, when we did the budget for 2016-17, the year under review now, we included 2.9 billion of old debt from municipalities. So we said we're going to recoup 2.9 billion of this old debt from municipalities. That did not happen, but we still spent that money on the projects. So the expenditure was in line with the budget, but the revenue was not because we didn't collect that 2.9. And that goes directly to the overdraft of 2.675 at 31 March. The next question on the...
Maybe just as you conclude on that one, how much is your debt, overall debt? And where do you locate that?
2016
is supposed to be a liability. Where do you locate it? Because I see there, you do have some smaller amounts, depreciation, amortization, and impairment.
Chair, you won't find it in the income statement. That will be on the balance sheet. We're showing that's an asset on the balance sheet. That will be an asset. So it's not a liability. It's a liability for the municipalities that owe us the money, but for us it's an asset. We're showing that they owe us the money.
And where is the revenue? You can't find it here. You do mention that it is in the other project.
Sorry,
Chair. That's the item, line item that you have.
On the second line item, we have sale of water services. So the first, if you look under revenue, the first one is the taxes and transfers. That's augmentation we get from National Treasury. The second item, sale of water services, that's the sale of water. That's where we charge the municipalities and the water works for the water that they use. So what we do is we show the revenue, we show sale of water, and the other side of that would be the debtors book, to show that they owe us that money. So that's our assets, their liability until they pay us. Am I making myself clear?
I'll come back to that. Okay.
Okay. Then the next question was on the interest, how the interest works. Now, TCTA have got very involved financial models, the way they work the models. And remember, the income is fixed. We've got so many leases of water we sell, so they know what the income is over the period. So if the interest is going to increase, it's normally linked to prime. All the loans are linked to prime. So if their expectation is that the interest is going to increase, we can't say next year we're going to pay more because we're going to pay interest, more interest. We're still going to pay the same because the revenue stays fixed. That's a fixed thing. That means we're going to pay the loan off over a longer period.
because we pay it over longer periods, there's going to be more interest. So it's not only the expectations of interest rates increasing, but also over a longer period. Now, the way that the GRAP works, the generally recognized accounting practice, you can't just ignore that. You can't say, but that's tomorrow's problem or next year's problem that you're going to pay more interest. It says to you, you know you're going to be paying more interest over the next 20 years, so there's going to be more of an interest charge over this period, but you've got to show it now in your financial statements. You've got to show the user, the reader, that there's an additional charge. And it says you've got to work out the present value of the future interest. So you've got to work out, in today's terms, what is that interest going to cost you, that you're going to be paying additional interest you're going to be paying over the period of the loan. And that's why we've got to show that interest there. Once again, it's the book entry. It doesn't affect the cash flow now, but it shows the reader of the financial statements that there is that future liability of paying that.
Can I just follow on that one?
There's just two more. Just on the expenditure.
Just make notes on those issues.
On the expenditure, there's a question of why we're overspending on the money. There's two places we're overspending. The one was, I spoke about the interest, the construction salaries, 16 million. Where they did it, normally we charge them to working on a project, so that should be capitalized. We say all the costs, we take the cement and the salaries, everything for a certain project goes to that project. That's a project cost. But they assisted us in doing maintenance, normal maintenance, which is not a capital item. It's not a dam or something. So they assisted us doing maintenance. So that was additional to, we didn't anticipate that, but they assisted us. We had a requirement for them to help us there. But the majority of that is this pumping cost. Because of the drought, we had to pump a lot of water between dams where the money was required. And that's it. The majority of that is pumping cost, which is unforeseen, but we had to incur that cost. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. You want to conclude, DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to clarify the question that you were raising. To say, as much as we were presenting this as a one presentation, but the entity and the department use two different accounting systems. The department or the main account is on a cash basis. They are on the accrual basis. Hence, they look what is going to happen in the future and accrue it in their books. Unlike us, we are on a cash basis. Hence, those questions will arise about interest, adjustment on TCT, and so forth. The issue of the debt, yes, you won't see it here because it will be receivables in our balance sheet, in the entity's balance sheet, because those are the money that we're expecting to come, even though the municipalities are not paying us. So, but when we present the financial statements for the entity, you will clearly see the total amount that we're expecting as receivables or as debtors in our books. I think Paul did cover the other things very well. Thank you very much.
Okay, Minister Ipan. any follow-up questions, Mr. Basson, Mrs. Baker, and Mr. Mguni?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think if you talk to us about projects, we think differently about projects. We think of capital projects. While this is a finance expense, and putting this, because you are, or while a commission could be seen as, it can't be seen as a project. I understand why, I don't know why you put it there, why you haven't put it under finance cost, because you're paying someone to collect money for you, or collecting cost. But let's leave that there. Jay, I would want us just to get these other projects, those 2.4 billion, they should send that to the portfolio committee. We just check on that, Jay. And I still don't understand the fact of the Reserve Bank. You still owe them that money. So, and you have utilized their money in the financial year, but it doesn't show in your expenses. Or you should have showed it in your revenue income as a loan or a, but because it's an overdraft, it is it's a liability. But it doesn't reflect anywhere, and it's got to be paid out. So I'm still not happy with that question, Chairperson, because it's a huge amount of money, and it doesn't reflect, and it must reflect. I understand what you said, but you still utilized 2.2 billion rand in this financial year from the Reserve Bank. It was their money. You utilized the money, but it doesn't reflect in your statements.
Megan?
Thanks, Chair. Well, I'm feeling a bit more... Okay, I'm not going to ask anything on this because now this, to me, indicates more of an annual thing. But the spreadsheet is just quarter four as of this. Okay, and that's what we were actually looking for today was the fourth quarter reports. Okay, looking at that then, Chair, page four of the spreadsheet. Water services and local water management. You've got an annual target there, 1.4.1. Annual target of 8 large water supply systems assessed for water losses. If you go further down, maybe I should leave those. Let's look at page 5 rather. Sorry, that's more pertinent. 2.2.2, number of completed feasibility studies for water and wastewater services projects, and these are big projects. The annual target is 28. The quarterly target was 11. There was only one achieved. That is a huge concern. Then we go further down, 2.2.3, number of completed implementation readiness studies for water and wastewater service projects are big again. Annual target is 19. The quarterly target is 8. We've only achieved 4. And given the current budgetary restraints, I wonder if any of these projects are actually going to be realized. Page 6. Number of water service authorities assessed for socioeconomic impact. The annual target was 53, and so was the quarterly target. That doesn't make sense to me. But they're underachieved by 67% anyway. Number of bulk, 2.3.1, number of bulk raw water projects ready for implementation. Annual target is 5. And the quarterly target is 5, Chair. That doesn't make sense either. But how can your quarterly target and your annual target be the same? Page 7, 2.3.4, same story. Number of mega water and wastewater service projects due for implementation. Annual target 2, quarterly target 2, but not achieved either. 2.3.5, annual target 13, quarterly target is 13. I'm concerned that a lot of these projects that are not achieved and way underachieved are in your RBIC area, and it's wastewater services and it's bulk wastewater services where we are having a huge problem with pollution and dysfunctional wastewater plants. And we are not achieving any of those targets. If you look at the back, the last page, page 38, 1.1.1 on that page. Number of wastewater systems assessed for compliance with the Green Drop regulatory standards. The annual target is 963. The quarterly target is also 963. And yes, it indicates it is not achieved. So we haven't assessed any of those wastewater plants. None of those wastewater systems have been achieved. None of the 963 have been assessed for compliance. That doesn't bode well for our water sources, Chair. 1.1.3. Same story. It's the same thing on that entire page, Chair. And the number of your annual target and your quarterly targets do not add up.
page 37, 4.2.2, can Pastor DG can just tell us when was this, what date was this gazetted on, please? The business case gazette for public consultation, when was that gazette done? And again, your catchment management agencies, well, we know that those haven't been established. But the impact this is having on our water sources, on our rural water sources, they're not being monitored for compliance. Our wastewater plants are not being monitored for compliance, and we are sitting with a huge problem with escalating water costs because the cost of purification of our water is escalating because of this. We have to do something to turn this around, Chair, and these are big projects that we are talking about. And can the department please explain why the annual targets and the fourth quarterly targets are reflected as the same?
Thank you, Mr. Mguna.
I think the first part has been covered of the issue of this target, annual and quarterly. Why the numbers are the same, or maybe it's just an overlook on the part of the department. I wanted to check, you know, when there was a presentation in the morning by Treasury, they indicated to us that there's a problem with this grants. Acknowledging that, yes, the DORA is a broad document, the Division of Revenue, but there's a challenge when it comes to the policy. It seems the department does not have a policy which can be used to manage the grant. If we can get an explanation on whether you do have any management policy to deal with this, the grant there. And earlier on I did mention the issue of this implementing agent. I'm coming back to the question. You know, when you look at the Constitution, Section 154, there is that provision of these concurrent functions, the national, the provincial government, which have to support and also strengthen the capacity of the municipalities. If we check in the department, why do we use a lot of this implementing agent than going to the municipalities? In consideration of the Section 154 of the Constitution. And the last question is on the bucket eradication cost. You know, I was very surprised this morning. Very surprised. In the presentation, Minister, one of the presentations in 2015, when we asked, you know, there was this discrepancies. When we went for oversight, we will go to a certain municipality, you find that they have ballooned the unit is 53,000. Another one is 9,000. Another is 700. And we had to ask the department, can you please tell us how much does it cost to do a case scenario unit. And they told us that it was between 9,000 and 15,000. But this morning, it was in 2015. This morning, the Treasury came to us and said, in 2013, according to them, in 2013, their year, it was 20,000 per unit, if it's a flushing, it's a water bottle. And then it's 12,000, it's a dry-sanitation. Then we were surprised, But it was in 2015. I think now it should have escalated to something else. Actually, if I can get it, clarity, how much is that unit per, in the worst case scenario of a building this? Thank you very much.
Okay, let's round up with Mr. Basson. This being our very last question.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, when we reviewed the previous annual report, the 15-16 annual report, we asked the question why the green drop and blue drop report was not done. We were informed that they were light on tenders. That's why it's not done. Actually, we are now at the end of another financial year. And the green dot report has still not been done. Actually, the last report that was issued was a 2013 report that became the 2014 report that showed that 82% of our wastewater treatment plants are not at standard. So I presume it's now 4 years later, and most probably will be 5 years later. We don't know what's going on with our wastewater treatment plants. This is criminally wrong. Not, this is an obligation. It's a law. They must do it. They don't do it. Deal with this situation, Chairperson. It's now the, we're going to go in, we're going to give a second financial year report that says it's not been done. That's why it was pushed into the last quarter and they didn't achieve it. And that gives us a huge problem. We don't know what's going on with wastewater in this country. What is the scale of pollution of our rivers in the country?
One of the recommendations from National Treasury Minister talks about, with regards to bucket eradication program, talks about a need for an interministerial task team with human settlement and cooperative governance that must look into the bucket eradication program. This is a recommendation that has been sent through to the Presidential Coordinating Council. If you can comment on that.
Can I? No, let me start with what you have raised. I want to assume this was also done in the presence of the Minister of Finance, or it was just official.
What? Well, this is brought by the officials from the department.
Oh, I think they can. It will be good that we get that commitment from the Minister of Finance, from where I'm seated, because that proposal from them has not reached us. So I would appreciate if Minister Gigaba could communicate this matter. Just last Friday we were meeting. We had an interministerial committee of ourselves, human settlement, COSTA, public, all the other portfolios in the interministerial committee of service delivery. And one of the matters is this issue. So hence I'm saying, let's recommend that we should get that ministerial directive if this is the view that the officials in finance hold, because it's already happening and they should rather be part of it. The second one, Chair, that I want to speak on is what Honorable Mguni has raised. If you refer to bucket eradication 2013, it is at that time where people were just working on estimates and trying to talk about cost per unit. It will become very irresponsible of us to say there is a cost per unit, because eradicating a bucket, you don't only calculate the three walls and the door as well as the finisher inside. That's why we have had these big challenges about bucket eradication, and I'm not sure what informs Treasury. Unfortunately, we're not in their deliberations. What you have now with bucket eradication, I think it's a highly improved understanding, because we're no longer just talking about putting the three walls. And by the way, we once received a note from Treasury that was telling us that we must use the former VIPs at less than 10,000 a unit. And we actually, together with the Department of Trade and Industry and Public Works, rejected that proposal. So what we are now doing with bucket eradication, you have to upgrade a wastewater treatment plant. You have to ensure that there's bulk infrastructure. You have to blast the rock like in the Northern Cape. And in other places, there's not even an access to water like in the Free State. And yet the plan was designed such that there's going to be a waterborne water solution. So it will be possible, Honorable Mguni, that we can come back and say this is what it costs to eradicate one bucket, because it must be integrated into the entire sanitation solution of every municipality. And going forward, on the rural bucket, on the rural sanitation, that's where we are able to have estimates, because on the rural sanitation, we know that we don't have to be dependent on wastewater treatment plants and so forth. We've also presented that moving forward, we will be using the alternative sanitation solutions. So for me, sir, those are the things that I wanted to clarify. And then on the issue of the green drop and the blue drop, it is not that we do not, it can't even be said that we do not want to do it and we have not done it. I think Deborah can be, and the acting DG can be in a position to explain. Sorry, not with Deborah, one, to Togo Sikwaza. Part of the issues related to the suspension of the DDG of regulations are some of the things that are related to this. However, ordinarily there is an assessment. The team has failed to do was to present an annual report. But on the evaluation, that's why we're intervening in the waste contamination in City Bank. That's why we're intervening here in one of our rural municipalities. What we definitely have to do is to make sure that branch that has that responsibility and has not been able to then effect a blue and green drop in line with what we want per annum has to deal with those issues. But continuously, those that are employed are actually doing the work. If Togo could actually elaborate, and then I would then invite Siso and Paul to be the last.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Honorable Chair and members, this is a critical issue that is related to the water resource management. I think in terms of the delays in implementing the blue and green drop, we agree that it did not happen, but we did monitor the rivers. We were able to assess the status of rivers. The 66 rivers in South Africa were monitored and on a quarterly basis, and we know the quality in terms of the ecosystem of all the river, or the 66 rivers in the country. We are also building capacity at local level in terms of the people that are going to go, because the program has been mainly dependent on external consultants. So we are now building capacity internally to ensure that we have that capacity for people to go out and assess the wastewater systems. And also in line with that, I think that we have identified strategic ones, mainly in the Vaal area, where we have intervened with about 300 million rand budget last year. I think it was on carte blanche. We all saw that intervention. It has worked very well as an intervention between the Gauteng municipalities and the department. We are also having our people that are being trained as as environmental management inspectors that are going to be qualified in terms of going out to assess what is happening at a local level. So it is going to take time, but we are working on it. And this year, we are working on procuring the support in terms of conducting the blue and green drop assessments. Thank you.
Any timelines?
Chair, if you can give us, we will come back in September. In September.
We'll come back with a report.
Yes. Not the report, the roadmap.
So you'll come back to us in August?
Yes.
When we come back?
Yes, yes, with the roadmap. A definite roadmap then.
Get to hear Paul, and then
just on that, I just want to also just on the same issue.
Okay.
So what you have informed us is that you have not done the Blue and Green Rock report. That's one. You've assessed the rivers.
Yes.
Will I find it in this quarter report?
It's on program 2.
What page? Sorry, I don't want to go and look for it now. And secondly, I want to ask you, how many of the 176 environmental inspectors are appointed? What's your vacancy rate on that? Previously, it was extremely high. So what is it now?
Corporate
services. You see, Che, all right, let's rather not then ask you to answer the question of the, because I don't know. She's just informed us they are training people. There were 176 of these positions, which there was about 70, or I can check quickly how much, it was a question I've asked, how much was appointed. But I'll get the question and I will follow it up, Chairperson.
Okay, Mam Kaula, I saw your hand up.
Sorry, sir, we need to agacacisela umhlonishwa ukuthi between the August no September yisiphi isikhathi.
Okay, we're coming back in August. I think we are here until the 15th of September, right? So that's why I was talking about August. So that we don't miss out before we go on recess mid-September. Okay. Paul?
Thank you, Chair. Just, on the, I think what's confusing is because we're not the cash basis, the trading entity is on the accrual basis. So we do a lot of book entries that don't affect the cash. We've got 98 million assets that cost us 98 million, which we've written off to 78 million, so we've written off 21 million depreciation, which doesn't affect it. We sell water to water users, they don't pay us, so it doesn't affect the cash. So there's a lot of differences between the cash basis and the accrual basis. But in the financial statement, which I believe was distributed to members, you'll see we start off with the income statement, then we have a balance sheet. The fourth one is the cash flow statement. The cash flow statement reconciles the cash. It shows you exactly what we had in the bank beginning of the year and how, what we spent it on and what the balance is at the end of the year. So in the financial statements, the fourth item is the cash flow statement, which shows exactly that. So it ignores all the non-cash items. It ignores the money we're selling, the water we're selling, not getting money for, depreciation, all those things. So this is cash only. So that shows exactly the reconciliation of the cash.
Okay. Shall I say this is work in progress? We are certainly going to be receiving sometime in October the actual annual report. What we do have here, I would urge members to keep this safe, as it shall be one of those documents that shall assist us as we are going to be entertaining a submission on annual report together with your budget for the past year and the plans, annual performance plans of last year. All of those documents are going to assist us. This is what the government had planned to do. This is what it is reporting on. Together with those other quarterly reports, in particular particular, this one that we've just dealt with. And then, of course, also the Auditor General's office is going to assist us as they normally do before we get to that stage of annual reports. The National Treasury, together with the annual Auditor General's office, shall come before us and give us their own version and their own analysis of what shall have been in that annual report. End of September, it is expected of the department to submit, or rather table, to Parliament that annual report. So that's the understanding that we always work on. The office of the House Chair has given us the framework, or rather guidelines, which talks about the focus areas for the third term of our fifth Parliament. Among other issues outlined here, this is going to be distributed to all the members. There is an issue here that talks about the BRR report, and clearly these are to be expected sometime in October, because we cannot deal with them before the department brings or other tables. We are to be here until the 15th, as I said, of September, and expected to come back here sometime in October, towards mid-October, is it well? Let's as I said, let's take this as to be work in progress towards us entertaining that annual report, and then whatever we have, we file these reports safely so that we're easily able to retrieve them as and when that time comes. I would have wanted us to go on lunch. I'm not too sure whether the lunch is ready. It is ready. It's a finger lunch out there. If you can spend 30 minutes at the most and then come back and deal with Overbeck so that we can finish much earlier than expected. Mr. Basson?
Jefferson, just one request. The 23rd of August, the first quarter report. Could we ask the department in that report, they must indicate to us separately how they dealt with the accruals of 1.5 billion. It could be something else. It's an estimate. But at that stage, they should know what it should be and bring us a report how they've dealt with it, how they've paid it, out of what funds, out of what program it's been paid. So that we get a sense of where we will end in the fourth quarter, whether we will be on track for disaster or a turnaround strategy.
Okay, fine, Mrs. Bega. Covered?
No, Chair. I'm not sure if I got a response on why the annual and the fourth quarter targets were the same, and the date of that business, that gazetted date.
Just repeat, Mrs. Baker, quickly.
I had questioned why, in some cases, the fourth quarterly targets and the annual targets are the same, and also wanted to know the business case that was gazetted for public consultation, the date on when that was gazetted, please.
Mr. Mguru?
I spoke about policy, the grant policy. And also the Section 154 of the Constitution.
Okay, if we can be quick so that we can all assist each other.
What we've developed a framework in conjunction with the colleagues from Treasury for the management of grants, not actually a policy, but the grant framework. So we have not yet finalized that, but we'll be finalizing in this financial year. We had the one that was done in 2009, but since last year we've been looking at this framework, so that's going to govern the grants going forward.
The rest is basically all to be part of what we are going to be bringing on the accruals mentioned by Mr. Person. It's a straightforward issue. Members, let's grab something and then come back in the next 30 minutes. With 30 minutes and then we come back, at most. It's over back, that's all. That is... Let's grab something, the meeting's adjourned for 30 minutes at most.